141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Kieran Tierney remains an injury concern for Celtic as Brendan Rodgers assesses his weekend debutants. Steven Gerrard can already see the early signs of a partnership between Alfredo Morelos and Jermaine Defoe. And Stevie Clark jokes he's been spying on Rangers to keep a bid up with their resources ahead of Wednesday's meeting. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Alex Ray and Hugh Keevans.
Wasn't the weekend fantastic? Shocks, drama, rows, bad decisions. Midweek looks even better. If you make a mistake now, you'll seriously live to regret it. If a match official makes a mistake now, we'll all live to regret it. Let's hope we're talking about human endeavour and not human error where the title race is concerned, Alec, because the stakes are high, the tension's even higher, and there's a serious need for everyone to calm down and not get carried away.
What a brilliant introduction, Hugh. At least I thoroughly enjoyed the weekend. I thought the cup drama, Auchinleck Talbot, fantastic. It's a beauty of the cup, but it's back to business on Wednesday night. A full card gone. Really looking forward to it.
Yeah, so many great stories from the weekend. Hugh Keevans, Auchinleck deservedly take the headlines.
£400 a man.
When you look at the comeback from St Mirren, there was a shock probably involving a Motherwell, you would have to say, going out. Yeah. Stenhouse Muir holding Aberdeen at Pittodrie. It was a great cup weekend, and now we're looking forward to the league business getting back underway very soon.
Absolutely, and a great cup draw as well. You know, with Kilmarnock playing Rangers midweek in the league, they've also got Rangers to play in the next round of the Scottish Cup as well at Rugby Park. St Johnstone now play Celtic three times in a row, two league games and a Scottish Cup tie. But you're right, it's all about Wednesday night. It's about St Mirren going to Celtic Park, Rangers going to Rugby Park. The championship race is very definitely on.
And Alex, of course, we said over the weekend, with Rangers postponement on Friday night, yesterday's friendly was going to take on a greater importance, a greater significance, to try and get guys game time and so on.
Yeah, I said the Rangers would have wanted the game on Friday. There's no two ways about it, Gordon. We've seen over the weekend that several clubs stuttered a little bit in terms of the performance levels, a bit laboured, and Rangers will be pleased that they had that game against Helsinki yesterday, because it allowed them to get two teams effectively 45 minutes and try and get a bit of cobwebs away. So they're beginning to this game on Wednesday knowing the extent. I've been saying for weeks now, so it's no good beating Celtic, your biggest rivals, and then going and losing points against Kilmarnock or Livingston. So it's really, really important time for all the clubs now.
Interesting, because Rangers have got two away games on the bounce. They've got Kilmarnock Wednesday, they've got Livingston Sunday. Celtic are almost permanently resident at Celtic Park from now until the foreseeable future, with league games and even the Scottish Cup tie.
01419511025. Let's hear from you. What did you make of your team's performance this weekend? What about the debutants? You got your first look at some of the new signings. Early signs, are they good, bad, somewhere in the middle? You tell us. 01419511025. Give us a call right now, or you can send a tweet at Clyde SSB. And Brendan Rodgers says he was pleased with Timothy Weah and Oliver Burke's debuts in Saturday's win against Airdrie. The Celtic boss admits the whole team did start off slowly, but was glad that they managed to create the number of chances that they did.
Yeah, it was a good win, like you say. Started a little bit slowly in terms of our possession was too slow. The speed of our game wasn't quick enough. But after that opening 15-20 minutes, we were much better. And like you say, we got our goals, had a penalty saved, a goal rolled off, which should have been a clear goal for a hat-trick, and missed other chances. So that was nice at this first game back after the break to create those opportunities and play with lots of quality in the game and keep a clean sheet was great. Yeah, I was really pleased with Oliver. He's got incredible talent, you know, in terms of he's a good technician. You know, tactically, we're working on his game for his movement and his runs. Physically, he's so fast and has got great attributes. So I thought he did well. Obviously, he didn't get his goal, but his pace and threat will always be a threat for us. And his movement creates the third goal for Timothy. You know, he comes short, Oliver, and then Timothy makes those runs I like from front players to running behind, and he gets his goal. So 18 years of age, scoring on his debut here was great.
Now, the Celtic manager's hopeful Kieran Tierney will return to training in the next few weeks. He's not quite sure whether the defender needs an operation on his hip. Olivier Ncham also yet to return to training, and he also thinks that new signing Vakun Isofbeo will take some time to get up to full speed once the paperwork is completed.
Well, there's no time on it. That was, of course, we miss a player of that quality. There's no doubt, you know, he's a player that can really make the difference and does make the difference for us. But he's also a young player that you can't rush. So, it's based around his feel and how he is. He's a really tough boy, Kieran, as well as an outstanding player. So you know that when he can't play because of the pain, then you know that's for real. So so we'll hope in the next few weeks he can get back to training. But in the meantime, it's just, you know, he's working with the medical team.
Is an operation a possibility?
I'm not sure.
When would you expect, or where would you hope Olivier Ncham to come back?
Probably at some point after next weekend to be back in training. Great news, Odson's obviously back in training now with the squad. Probably be too early for him on Wednesday, but he's back in. Olivier will probably be next week at some point.
Back in Isofbeo, all the paperwork all done? Are you still waiting for that?
Still waiting. There's nothing finished or complete on that yet.
And he'll be a while, you reckon, till he gets up to speed?
I think so, yeah. I think his last training game time is about the 8th of December. So I think by the time it's all done, and it'll probably take a bit of time.
Come on then, what did you make of the debuts, Timothy Weah and Oliver Burke? Early days, but come on, what did you make of it so far? 0141 951 1025.
A lot of ground covered there by Brendan Rodgers. Mm-hmm. Let's try and pick our way through that. The loss of Kieran Tierney is huge for Celtic. He's been out for weeks. The manager's saying it'll be weeks before he can even be back in training. So that's a severe blow for Celtic. You cannot say other than that, because there are no alternatives to Kieran Tierney. They did try Johnny Hayes, but then when Celtic went to play Rangers, Johnny Hayes was not trusted. No one else was trusted. Callum McGregor was put in at left back to the detriment of the whole team and the whole day for Celtic. Up front, Timothy Weah did take his goal wonderfully well against Airdrie, but to what extent is Brendan Rodgers going to put his trust in an 18-year-old now that we're down to the Russian roulette stage of the championship? The loss of Edouard, perhaps he'll be back sooner rather than later. The loss of Lee Griffiths, how can you not miss someone who scored over 100 goals for Celtic? So there are many questions for Brendan Rodgers to answer, and I think it's as well for Celtic that they are at home as they return to the championship race, and they're home against St Mirren and Hamilton Accies to begin with. Two teams they really, really should beat.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting some of the points you make there, Hugh. I think the left back berth is an issue for Celtic. Mm. I think the right back, when you look at some of the reports over the course of the last 6 months, they've been courting various right backs, just trying to get one over the line. Which has suggested to me that Lustig's actually coming to the end of his time at Celtic. You know, he hasn't agreed a contract in the summer. Offensively, I think they've got more than enough options when you look at Burke, Bio still to come in. And Lee Griffiths will come back. For me, he'll definitely come back before the end of the season, once he kind of gets his head properly sorted. In terms of the other options, you know, you've still got the dilemma whether Scott Brown, we're expecting an announcement in the next couple of days, whether he's going to stay at Celtic beyond the summer, or he's going to go to Australia. So a lot of things happening. Still got several days left yet, but I still expect Celtic to do some business between now and the end of the window.
Right, what did you make of any debuts you saw at the weekend? You tell us, you're the expert, if you were out there seeing them. 0141 951 1025. Alec is a Celtic fan. Timothy Weah, Oliver Burke. Alec, what do you think?
How we doing, lads?
You're okay.
I was at the game obviously on Saturday, and I thought that Burke was quick until Weah came on, and this guy is lightning. The guy was, I think he covered every blade in the park in the first 5 minutes. His enthusiasm. What I can see happening is James on the right, maybe Weah on the left, and Edward up top, with maybe Buck in that, maybe Tom Rogic, number 9-10 role. Buck, his touches, he did everything bar score on Saturday. The boy was unlucky. You can tell that there's a player in there. And for Scotty, again, he scored another 2 goals. You know, he's just flying under the radar. But another 2 goals after Scotty, which will do his confidence a world of good.
I don't think he has a problem with his confidence. He always talks a good game. I just don't happen to think that he's the best finisher I've ever seen. You know, he got his two goals, which were basically defensive errors, and he finished them off, but he also missed a penalty and the biggest sitter of the day, Alec.
It's pretty tough to argue with his contribution, though, isn't it? It's a weird one because we always get calls about his performances, but just look at the numbers. I know it's about more than that, but tell you what.
I think the most important thing is, Gordon, to look at Brendan Rodgers and how he regards the boy. I think he's got 34 games already this season at the halfway stage here. 11 goals, I think it's something like 6 in these last 5. So I'm not quite sure he's going to drop him anytime soon, Alec, because he seems to keep going back to him. I know his form's been up and down and a wee bit inconsistent at times, but when you look at his turnover of goals consistently over the years, his first season was phenomenal. I think he was rightly the player of the season. Last year wasn't great, this year, but he always goes back to him here, you know, when things are not going right, because he just gives you that balance to come inside, likes to link and things. So I'm not sure he'll be leaving Celtic's first team anytime soon.
I think either way, Hugh, you can only base so much on a Scottish Cup tie against Airdrie. Whether it's good or bad, you can't be knee-jerk in your reaction. Having said that, Timothy Weah clearly did take his goal very well. And you always look for new players to do something, to get them up and running, to boost their confidence, to whatever it may be.
Yeah, you have to be careful in terms of Burke, the position that you play him in, because that direct through the middle role, I don't think suits him. But with regard to Timothy Weah, he certainly appears to light up Celtic Park, and he has had an immediate impact on the supporters. He took his goal wonderfully well. How many times, though, will he start for Brendan Rodgers?
Come back in, Gordon.
On you go.
I think that I personally think that Weah, for the next 6 months at Celtic's Golden, is going to rip this league up apart. The guy, you can tell that the guy's got class. And see, when he scored his goal, it would earn the celebrated big style. It wasn't just like, you know, like the way you see some players do. You can tell what it meant for him. I think he's going to start more games than what you think here. I think that this guy, what I said to Andy when I come on, Rangers are going for like Defoe and Morelos. And I think, and it's, you know, it might be a bit more pace in their build up. I think Celtic's going to start quick, get the ball, defence, boom, up top end of the field, and then you're up in the penalty box.
Do you think?
I think Celtic's going to be playing devastatingly fast this season.
Do you think Timothy Weah will play against St Mirren from the start?
I don't see why not, Hugh. When the guy come on,
where would you play him, Alex? Just out of curiosity, what position would you play him?
I think I would put him in. I know that you're talking about with Scott Sinclair, but I think that if you get Edward through the middle and Forrest and the other wing, I think that we are coming in. I think that the boy has got to start. The boy just looks like an athlete. He looks as if he could run all day. And I think that he's got goals written all over him.
I have to say, Alex, I actually watched him play for against Celtic in the Champions League, and he played through the middle as well. I'm not really sure he came off the left-hand side, but I think when you get a really good example of him, when he was running in behind, he has plenty of pace. His timing of his running, his finishing was absolutely brilliant, and he rightly got his goal. And you were correct in what you said in terms of his celebration. It was a young boy trying to make his mark. And they just got guys like yourself just saying, whew, this guy's a man. So I'll be interested when the actual levels are a wee bit more on par with some of the teams that, you know, I think the next couple of games are very favourable for Celtic, and you might see a bit more of them. But I think against the bigger teams, I'm not sure Celtic will start with them. I think he'll go with the tried and tested.
Right, come on then, let's hear from you. 0141 951 1025. You can tweet at Clyde SSB. Maybe you're out and about at a game of the weekend. Maybe you watched it on television. Whatever it may be, what did you make of it? Good result, bad result? Anyone impress you as far as performances go? Maybe there were some new players on show. You tell us. 0141 951 1025. We didn't even get to the diseased pitch. I think I'll speak on behalf of everyone when we acknowledge right up front that you're probably not an expert in these matters, but you can give it a bash. I don't know.
I would get out there with the stethoscope and have a look if anyone wants me to. But
stethoscope. Yeah.
we did mention on Saturday that we thought the pitch looked patchy. Well, Brendan Rodgers addressed the subject today, and he used the word disease. The pitch has a disease. I didn't. You say that? He said that. The manager. But it's a, you know, a real shame for Celtic, who spent over £1 million on that pitch. But I'm not truly qualified to discuss matters agrarian.
You're a keen gardener. Do you know anything? No.
No, listen, I actually think that the pitch, in the grand scale of things, is probably as good as anything in the country in terms of, you know, the pitch. It was just patches about the place. And when you consider going back to our days in the 80s and the 90s, it was like mud heaps. Yeah. So, you know, we'll not complain too much. I think it's as good as a surface you're going to get.
To be fair, it didn't affect Timothy Weah as he danced over it to score the third goal.
What did you make of that cup tie as a whole? Was it just that, you know, sort of classic example of Celtic where, no disrespect to Airdrie, always going to win it, or always most likely to win it? Perhaps not in the absolute devastating fashion that you predicted, Hugh Keevans, but job done.
If you take, I said they win 5-0, Alex said 6-0.
Yes.
But if you examine it, they scored three. There's been a goal disallowed, which was a real bad decision. And that's why I say we've got to have better decisions between now and the end of the season, because Scott Sinclair actually has to go past an Airdrie player to score it, and he's flagged offside. Yeah. He also missed a penalty, so that would have been five. So it's not my fault. It's a combination of the assistant referee and Scott Sinclair. It's their fault. It should have been 5-0.
Well, see, they came back to the decision. I know we harp on most, which, because Celtic won comfortably, for me, that's as easy a decision as you should actually get. Just looking along the line, you know, he timed his run brilliantly, and it should have stood. But we'll kind of try and give the ref and the linesman a break this week. We need to try and get this better, Gordon, going forward, because these decisions may well cost someone going forward.
Brendan Rodgers could afford to be philosophical about it after the game, but he did touch upon it, and he said that's one that our linesman has got to see, got to get right. Now, it's okay when you're 2-0 up against Airdrie and you're obviously going to win the game, it's okay to be philosophical about it. If that's the last minute of a game and it's a huge game in the title race and that's not given, pandemonium.
I said yesterday, Paul Mariner didn't give a penalty on Raheem Sterling. I put on a group chat. Some of them were saying, what will Pep Guardiola say afterwards? I said, say nothing, it'll be 3-0.
Yeah.
You know, and you can afford to do that because you have the luxury of a comfortable win. But, you know, they're pretty basic decisions.
Come on then, let's hear from you. 0141 951 1025. We're going to hear from Stephen Gerrard. Did you see any of the friendly yesterday? What did you make of it? And what about this Defoe and Morelos possibility? That coming up after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Win the compensation you deserve. Talk to Thompson's.com. Clyde One, the official station of Glasgow Rocks, taking on Leicester Riders at the Emirates Arena, Friday at 7:30. Tickets at glasgowrocks.co.uk.
It's Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Really keen to hear from you, so give us a call or send us a tweet at Clyde SSB. Stephen's been on. He says the time has come for Craig Gordon to step aside for Scott Bain. The theory that Gordon's a better shot stopper ended for me on Saturday with Bain's remarkable 5 stops in 19 seconds. Bain's been faultless when called upon, and his kicking is excellent. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Let's hear a bit from Stephen Gerrard, Rangers fans. This may be a time for you to get involved. He says he can already see a good partnership forming between Morelos and Defoe after that friendly win yesterday. The Rangers boss has also rubbished the claims from Donald Finlay that kitman Jimmy Bell played a part in the Cowden Beef game being postponed.
I never got to the stadium. We got to the hotel and we were having pre-match when we found out the news. I never seen the pitch, so it's difficult to comment on, but we respect the decision. We respect Cowden Beef for trying everything they can to get the game on, and let's hope it goes ahead at the later date. But it was a shame because we were prepared to play, but you'd have to adapt in these situations. And I think it would have been a bigger problem for us if we didn't have today's run out, because we would have went into Wednesday with no minutes in the leg. So thankfully this was in place for maybe fringe players and younger players, but I obviously had to adapt them plans when the game was called off. Jimmy Bell was the driving force behind what getting the game called off. I think Jimmy actually wanted the game on because he's thinking, I've got to carry all this kit back in 10 days' time. So I think it was actually Jimmy's car on the pitch with the engine on trying to thaw the bit of ice out. That's what Jimmy tells me. So no, I don't think Jimmy Bell's capable of getting a game called off. I think he's actually more concerned he's got to work an extra night. It looks dangerous. They're two good players. They seem to like playing together. Having Jermaine here obviously gives us that real option as well, and obviously having Kyle as well, it gives us the opportunity to play a different system if we want to. You know, we can play 3-5-2, we can play a 4-diamond 2, a 4-4-2. It gives me and the staff more options to keep opposition teams guessing. But the early signs are really positive.
Again, just a friendly. You can't take too much from Alex, but at the same time, Did we see any clues as to what Steven Gerrard might do in the second half of the season, particularly with these two strikers?
I don't think so, Gordon. I think, well, look, I think Defoe's come up to play. I don't think he'll be sitting in the bench anytime soon. It gives him the flexibility. I think that's a key word for Steven Gerrard. We've had callers on over the course of the last few months saying it's the same old system, you know, the 4-2 or 4-3-3, you know, with the two wider guys. This gives him flexibility, and I'm sure he'll be working that over there. And it's interesting because he's only seen 45 minutes yesterday against opposition, but he would have been working on that over the course of the time they've been away in the winter break as well. So he's had a closer look at that. He will be trying to get the four up to speed so that he hits the ground running, similar to what we did yesterday.
This was fascinating about a transfer window, Hugh, because you can't just buy good players. That's only part of it. They have to fit together, and that's why I think there's so much interest about the next few weeks.
Yeah, well, obviously Morelos doesn't go out of the team to accommodate Defoe, and Defoe, as Alex said, is up here to play. Therefore, you get a system to fit Defoe, not the other way around, and they'll both play, because Jermaine Defoe at his age knows he'd be wasting his time to come up and sit on the bench, and Morelos knows for sure that he's playing.
Let's get the views of Alan in Drumchapel. Hi, Alan.
Hello, Paro. Hey, how you doing? My quick point is about the it's good to, well, what my point is, I'm glad that Defoe is getting more, well, he got his first game there at the weekend. Mm-hmm. But I'm just, I see before the Brit finished against, just say for instance, against the Old Firm game, that team for me, it's gelled, it's starting to look more gelled together. And then the friendly match yesterday, Gerrard is changing it a bit more, like more of a diamond shape by the looks of it. And they had Defoe and Morelos up front in the first half. I don't know if Gerrard's going to keep this going or else keep the way it used to be, but just like, obviously I have Defoe and Gerrard, Defoe and Morelos up front.
That's what will
I don't happen. Know, to see if you, I don't like the way, if he's going to change it. I'd rather him keep it and then maybe work around it to make it stronger instead of changing the whole formation.
Yeah, well, so what's your solution, Alan? Does Jermaine Defoe not get a game?
I think they should keep my Defoe and Morelos up front to help Morelos.
Yeah,
but I don't know if it, because yesterday, I watched the game yesterday and on Rangers TV. And they were saying about the Rangers were looking like they were starting to play like a different formation, a diamond formation.
Yeah, but that's the point, Alan. Something,
I think they should keep it the way they always were playing it.
But something has to give, Alan. If you want Jermaine Defoe in the team and Morelos, something has to change behind, does it not?
Yeah, but we could. I would be happy with a 4-4-2 for me. But Defoe and Morelos up front.
I suppose,
but even with Davis behind him.
Well, that's essentially what a diamond is, Alex. It's just,
yeah. Well, it'll be interesting because I think if Barisic was playing at left back, it would give you that flexibility. I don't think Andy Halliday has that natural athleticism to go up and down, although he does a good job, Andy. So when you have a diamond, it's your two wider guys, which would be Kent and Davis. Jack would be at the base, and then you would have Arfield supporting Morelos and Defoe up front. So you want your fullbacks to be bombing forward all the time. But I think the key thing, Alan, for Steven Gerrard is he has flexibility now. He can actually start mixing this up a bit. I thought he was limited because on the wider areas he didn't have a great deal of options at periods throughout the season as well. Then Lafferty came in. So, you know, you've got three strikers vying for these places as well now, so there's that little bit of competition, which is always good as well. And then on the wings as well, depending who they play there, then there's flexibility to try and change it up as well. And I think that's the key thing for Rangers. They have more strength and depth. When I've seen some of the players potentially could come into the team, then it's, you know, it's encouraging for Steven Gerrard.
And Wednesday will be a big test for all of them, no matter the shape. Mm-hmm. This is Kilmarnock, who since Steve Clarke became the manager have been a thorn in Rangers' side. They have taken valuable points away from Rangers, and it's a big test of Steven Gerrard's team after the winter break. They did miss the match against Cowden, beat them Friday night, and a friendly against the HJK Helsinki is not a comparable test. So Rangers need to hit the ground running at Rugby Park.
I mean, Alex, is it too soon then to see that fully in play on Wednesday night? What would your prediction be in terms of how the lineup is going to look?
I think they'll be really strong, Gordon. I listened to Steven Gerrard post match yesterday, and he was talking about Barisic, where he went down late on in the game, and he must have tapped. He says, I think he tapped the ground 50 times as if he was in a serious condition, and then he seemed to be moving okay after the game. So if he plays, I'll probably be McCauley and Golson. You know, Golson didn't feature yesterday either, Gordon. So whether he's, if they're fit, this is, it'll be Golson and McCauley, Tavernier, Barisic, and then it's down to that midfield: Jack, Davis, Arfield, and then it's whoever plays. Kent may play on the left hand side with the two, Defoe and Morelos up top. So I think they're really strong, Gordon. And then, as I said, there's flexibility with guys coming in. But you know, I like the fact that they've actually got options now, Gordon, because they've got so many bodies there that you're having to fight to get on the bench. And then when you get on the bench, you then have to make an impact when you come on and try and impress the manager.
Well, come on then, let's hear from you on the phones. 0141 951 1025. That's the number you need. So get in touch with us right now. Tell us what you made of your team's performance at the weekend, what you made of their result. Perhaps there were some new players on show. Did they do it for you so far or not? 0141 951 1025. You can tweet us at Clyde SSB as well. It feels strange in a way, Hugh, the midweek fixture card being the return of the Premiership. And when you look, I think Alec mentioned it earlier on, some of the teams looked like the break had been detrimental rather than beneficial to them. They looked a bit sluggish. So we'll be keen to see how that pans out when the league returns on Wednesday.
Well, you just have to go on with it. Teams insist on a winter break. Those who are in the fortunate position of having the money to go for warm weather training get that under their belt. So there is no room for error now, absolutely no margin for error, because Celtic or Rangers, Kilmarnock, Aberdeen, if they make a mistake now, they could live to regret it from now until the end of the season. So yes, you might be stuttering like an old car on a winter's morning, but you just have to get on with it.
I know that feeling, you.
Let's have a quick look. Remember, we are on Twitter at Clyde SSB. On the phones, it's 0141 951 1025. Stevie Clark's been highlighting the financial differences between Kilmarnock and Rangers ahead of Wednesday's meeting. He says Rangers could be paying Jermaine Defoe the same amount of money a week as his whole squad combined. Clark says he'll have no problems playing Jordan Jones in the game. That's despite that pre-contract with Rangers.
If you put it into isolation, really, you take the Defoe one, if the figures are to be believed, and I'm not talking about the high-end figures, the figure of £35,000, that's quite readily bandied around if that's the case, and they're paying that for Jermaine Defoe. To put it into context, that is the budget that I've got for my entire squad for a week. That shows you how well we're doing.
Do you feel like you'd have no problem throwing Jordan Jones out from the start on Wednesday?
No doubt. If Jordan's fit and ready to go and I want to use him, then that's what I'll do. He's a Kilmarnock player, he's sorted his future out, which is good for him. But I think he's a good player, an important player for my team. So if I decide that he's going to start on Wednesday night, then he'll start. But the crowd were excellent with him on Saturday. Excellent. And I thought the boy himself put a lot of effort into the game. So no worries about Jordan, none whatsoever.
I can understand why Steve Clark brings up the budget and how his entire squad are roughly the same money as Jermaine Defoe. If that gives them an underdog mentality and he feels that works in Kilmarnock's favour, then okay. But Rangers' budget is inferior to Celtic's budget, and they're on the same points at the moment. So we can argue budgets all day long. It's what you do in the park, and Kilmarnock aren't doing too badly under Steve Clark.
They're actually on a very good run, Hugh. That's three wins in the bounce that they've just had there. And you know, you look at the recent form, it's impressive. As I said, I keep reiterating how important it is that Rangers actually go on and win this game. But Steve Clark have other ideas, and for me, Jordan Jones must start. If he's going to get a result.
I mean, certainly all the noises are there, Hugh. You hear Stevie Clark, he couldn't be any clearer about it. If Jordan Jones is fit, he's going to play. I know people a few weeks ago, and maybe some people would have thought that, you know, there's no chance, but having seen the way this has all panned out, it certainly looks like he will.
Yeah, listen, we're the wind-up capital of the world. The Rangers fans will cheer Jordan Jones. The Kilmarnock fans, some of them, a minority, will give him a hard time on Wednesday night. But he has apparently been excellent in training. Steve Clark was impressed by his performance on the pitch against Forfar at the weekend. So everyone, including Jordan Jones, will have to put the whole Twitter fiasco behind them. And remember that from now until May, Kilmarnock pays wages.
The only thing, this whole budget thing, I mean, that's nothing new. I think we all knew Celtic, certainly, and Rangers have a much bigger budget than the other teams. It doesn't mean that it's not true, Alex. It's just that balance between, you know, when you bring it up and when you don't. What you can say with some amount of certainty is what it shows is just how good a job Stevie Clark and Kilmarnock are doing.
I think everyone in the show has been praising Stevie Clark since he came up the road, Gordon. You look at his points tally, his return, he's got the best out of his squad of players. And it was interesting, someone sent me today the 1.75 that Kilmarnock were, well, he was alluding that was roughly around about that price. For me, that's one of the highest budgets I've had in recent times, because, you know, I think Billy Bowie's come in, he's put the money where his mouth is, he's back to manager, and he's obviously got some decent players in. And I think Stuart leaving is a bit of a blow for them, so it'll be interesting to see how they kind of cope with that loss.
Interesting comments on that front, Hugh Keevans. Try and use some polite language. He said there was something smelly about the Greg Stewart to Aberdeen move.
Well, it's kind of hard to fathom that one out, unless he's suggesting that Aberdeen had advised Birmingham to take him on loan, knowing that they could get him back from Birmingham. I don't know. It's all industrial espionage. But the fact of the matter is, he's at Aberdeen now, and Stevie Clark has to get on with it.
He wasn't happy about it, was he, Alex?
No, not at all. He probably put a lot of time and effort to try and get him back in, Gordon, and probably the way it's gone about hasn't sat well with him. And listen, I think anybody would be disappointed to lose a player of his calibre. He could have scored about 3 or 4 at the weekend, some of the highlights I've seen from the Aberdeen game. But he'll be a big addition to Derek McInnes over the coming months.
The number you need to get in touch is 0141 951 1025. Let's hear from you. We'll take your call after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, a team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray are here, and they're waiting to take your calls. So get in touch, 0141 951 1025. You can also tweet at Clyde SSB. But let's hear from you on the phones, because it was a busy weekend of Scottish football, so you simply must have something on your mind. We're looking ahead to some league fixtures as well, so get in touch on the phones or on Twitter. Hugh, what did you make of the Scottish Cup draw?
Yeah, liked it. As I say, Rangers have got the tough one, I think, having to go to Kilmarnock. Celtic, every time they go onto the park, the treble is at stake. But once again, they have home advantage against St Johnstone. I don't like three games against the same club, one after the other. You know, it's bad for fans, let's be honest. It's bad for the players.
I think it happened last season around the League Cup final, didn't it?
Yeah, Motherwell. Yeah, and that ended in 2 wins for Celtic and a draw at Fir Park. But the romance of the cup once again is Hearts versus Auchinleck. Mm. It's been a great story. It's kept everyone happy over the weekend, and they've done a magnificent job for the juniors' reputation. And they'll go to Tynecastle, and I'm quite sure live television will take it, because we all want to see if it could possibly happen.
I seen a couple of the boys doing some punditry yesterday at the Hearts game, and one of them didn't know what day it was. He had made a few sherbets too many the night before you.
But listen, if you don't have that on that occasion, you never will.
And the good thing is, for so-called smaller teams, the draws all almost sort of opened up for some. You know, I mean, you look at Partick Thistle, it's all been doom and gloom in the league, but all of a sudden, you know, they're up against East Fife. I'm not saying that's going to be easy, but that's a real chance to them, you know, progress. Either Ross County or Inverness, both in the Championship, one of them will get through. So, you know, there's a path there for a few teams.
I watched the highlights on Saturday night of Raith Rovers against Inverness, and I thought that Raith Rovers scored 3 terrific goals, and they're at Easter Road to play Neil Lennon side. So he will treat them with the greatest respect. That's another good tie.
0141 951 1025. Let's hear from you on the phones. John is in Craig End. Hi, John.
Hi. First time caller, but long time listener.
What made you call tonight? That usually means something's annoyed you, John.
Aye, because I've been listening for the start of the show, and I can't believe Hugh Keevans has been so disrespectful to every Cowden Beef fan. He's got them knocked out the cup already. Okay, they're playing Rangers, but Auchinleck Talbot wasn't such a thing, mate, and Stenhousemuir as well. So I can't just see why he's so disrespectful to all the Cowden Beef fans. And I think he should apologise on air.
Apologise, come on.
No, I won't.
Oh, okay.
In my opinion, Cowden Beef from the bottom tier of Scottish football will be no match for Rangers, and Rangers will go through to meet Kilmarnock in the next round of the Cup. It's, for me, John...
Stenhousemuir wasn't any match for Aberdeen, and Auchinleck wasn't any match for Ayr United, who are chasing the Premiership.
You didn't ask me about those. You're asking me about Cowden Beef versus Rangers. And I am telling you,
mentioned the other two games.
And I am telling you that, in my opinion, you're on here shouting and bawling, giving me your opinion. I am giving you mine. In my opinion, Cowden Beef have absolutely no chance against Rangers, and Rangers will go into the next round.
John, do you fancy Cowden Beef?
No, I don't. But it's not really the point. That's not what I was saying. I was saying he's got them out of the cup. This is a big day for wee teams like that.
So have you?
I know they're a wee team. But so was Auchinleck Talbot. So was Stenhousemuir. They're still in the cup.
Gordon Duncan asked you if you fancied the Cowden Beef, and you said, no, I don't.
Mean, John said that's not
the
point.
I don't, but I'm just saying it's not the point. You've already dismissed them before they've even played their game.
That's right, yes.
So you're not giving any comparisons with the shocks that John mentions?
Listen, the Aberdeen result against Stenhousemuir was a dreadful one. But hold on a second. I'm trying to answer your question. If you stop shouting and bawling. The Aberdeen result is a dreadful one and an embarrassment to Derek McInnes and all concerned, because Stenhousemuir, bottom of League One, should never have had a chance. However, I'm confining myself to this one football match, Cowden Beef against Rangers on the 30th of January. In my estimation, Cowden Beef have absolutely zero chance.
I mean, they are another tier below Stenhousemuir, John. It's maybe worth remembering that as well.
Oh, but obviously, Auchinleck Talbot's not in the
this is true.
Yeah, but they were playing Ayr United. Now, it's a bad result for Ayr United, and Ian McCall was man enough to say it's the worst result of his managerial career. However, logic, reason, everything tells me that Rangers, joint top of the Premiership, playing a team from the bottom league in Scottish football, a part-time team from the bottom league in Scottish football, Cowden Beef have zero chance.
And just while we're on the subject, Bob's got you figured out on Twitter. He says, no wonder Shug likes the draw. Jers get a tough away game, while Celtic, Dons, Hearts and Hibs get easy home draws. He says.
Yeah.
He's got you all figured out.
Oh, I know. The country's half-witted.
01419511025. Thank you to John and Craig in. First call, John. It was good to have you. We'll maybe get you back sometime if you fancy it. So give us a call tonight or send us a tweet at Clyde SSB.
Former Rangers player standing here beside me. Do Cowden Beef have any chance whatsoever?
Not in my opinion, but listen, John's welcome to come back on, and after the event, the 31st, we will take his call and he can apologise or gloat one way or another. We will be here.
John's getting back up on Twitter. He says, Martin says, three times you've said Rangers will play Killy. They'll need to play Cowden Beef. Fair enough, you think they'll win. So do the whole country, but it's very disrespectful to pretend the game isn't happening.
If the whole country
you're
thinks,
in trouble tonight.
If the whole country thinks that Rangers will beat Cowden Beef, what's wrong with somebody saying so?
you've got him riled, John. He's not happy at all. 01419511025.
We don't believe it. It's only because, you know, if I had said that Celtic would beat Cowden Beef and would be in the next round, the Rangers fans would come on and say, how dare you be disrespectful? You can see right through them.
I'll tell you what though, if the unthinkable were to happen as far as Hugh's concerned, that last 10 minutes will make great radio when I play it back.
But this is a great thing about it. We put our neck on the block, Hugh, time
correct.
After time.
Correct. Yeah, really bold shout from you. Reggie's in Coatbridge. Hi, Reggie.
Oh, yeah, beauty. I'm just going to put a hammer in Cowden Beef, by the way. Hugh Keevans has just predicted that won't happen.
That's it. You know what to do. Bet the other
way. All kidding aside, boys, right? Thanks for taking my call, right? My point is on VAR, right? And I can't see that we need that now, right? I think it'd be a big waste of money, because you've got to... Now, before MD says it, I'm looking at it from a Celtic point of view as a Celtic supporter, right? And I've got to say that Dean got three chances. He sat in a room and watched the three incidents with Morelos and says that there wasn't a booking involved, right?
Just to be clear, Reggie, that's not really the way it works. You know, he's asked if he saw the incidents in their entirety, and that's what he said. So it's not like
He was blocked or impaired his vision.
Yeah.
The referees are the problem in Scottish football, right? I think they're professional people that's never played football, right? And this is, I'd love to see it in a good way, right? That, Ali Gray, I know you work a lot with a lot of young boys that never made the grade in football, right? But they've got football in their blood, right? So what I would love to see was referees coming from that group of boys that have got football in their blood, that have played football for a very early age, that didn't quite have to make it, but know what the game's all about. And I think the problem is we've got professional people who have got professional jobs that have never kicked a ball in their life, right? You've got amateurs running a multi-million pound game, and I think that's where the problem comes in. Yeah, I think if you had football boys refereeing games and you didn't have the teachers, lawyers, they're all professionals, which we all know, they've got an arrogance about them. They're never wrong anyway, right? And I think if you made it I know you're going to say it happens down it, but if you have young guys that never made the game and weren't going to make the game for whatever reason, but have got football in their blood,
Reggie, hold on a second. You've given us every myth under the sun here that the Scottish referees are drawn from the legal profession and other
teachers
professions such as that. That's simply not the case.
Well, I mean, some of them are, but
you're also saying that they've never played football in their lives before. How do you, Don Robertson, for one, was a former professional footballer.
Was he?
I think he was involved with St Mirren at one point, Don, wasn't he?
Yeah. But to say that nobody... I have no idea whether John Beaton played amateur or junior or any other level, but to simply dismiss the entire refereeing profession by saying they've never kicked a ball in their lives before is clearly wrong.
I think one of the things as well, Reggie, is that you would have to have these guys want to be referees first and foremost. Now, whether one or two of them could make the grade, I think one of the things in the referees' defence is they're very, very committed, and to suggest that they don't know the game, these guys spend years and years at the very lowest level learning the game, learning the laws, and then they obviously work their way up the tree. So this is the best crop that we have at the moment. Come back to your point in terms of full-time refereeing, I would be very much for that. However, I don't know how you get a lawyer or a teacher to take up refereeing at 36, 37 to give their job up for a full-time position. You just wouldn't happen in Scotland.
Also, for what Reggie talks about, young guys who didn't make it, I mean, the option is there. At the moment, I would imagine, for them to be a ref if they want. Yeah, of course you could add an added emphasis on it, but I mean, they can if they want.
Yeah, if the young guy who never made it signed up for the referee's course and made it through the ranks and get into the Scottish Premiership to referee a game, he would get the same treatment that Kevin Clancy gets and Willie Collum gets and John Beaton gets, because people don't trust referees.
Thank you to Reggie in Coatbridge. I think it's time for this.
The Pundit.
With Goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Come on, the first Beat the Pundit of a new week. Your chance to come on here, show off your footballing knowledge, get one over on Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray, and walk away with a signed ball. If you like the sound of it, 0141 951 1025. Give us a call and do it quick, because you only have until the news at 7 o'clock.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Great results for Scottish accident and injury victims for 40 years.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray are here and they're waiting to hear from you. So give us a call on 0141 951 1025. You can tweet us at Clyde SSB as well. We're going to look back on some of the best stories from the weekend. So fans of all teams, come on, let's hear from you after this.
The Pundit.
With Goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
It's a new week on Beat the Pundit. It's a clean slate for Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray. One of them is going to be taking on Ross, who's a Rangers fan from Motherwell. Hi, Ross.
Hi, how are you doing?
Not too bad at all. How are you?
Hi, not bad, thanks.
Did you catch much of the Rangers game yesterday?
I just watched it in the telly.
What are you thinking so far? Early days for some of the new players, but optimistic?
expected friendly. A bit boring.
It has that. They always have that tempo about them, Alex, don't you?
Yes.
You just cannot possibly recreate it, the normal tempo.
I think it serves its purpose, Gordon, just to get the cobwebs away. But you're not flying into tackles because of the significance of the games coming up.
Right, Ross, have you ever played before?
No.
Ah, you haven't, okay. Well, I'm going to toss the coin. If it's heads, you're up against Hugh Keevans. If it's tails, you're up against Alex Wright. And it is heads. Hugh Keevans against Ross from Motherwell. So I'll give Hugh some Clyde 2 in his ear. Make sure he can't listen in. No spying on us, as is all the rage these days. Ross, you've got 30 seconds. You're going head to head with Hugh. The secret is you can pass. So if you're going to pass, do it quickly. That'll make sense.
Aye.
Good man. Your chance to beat the pundit starts now. What year did Auchinleck last play Hearts in the Scottish Cup?
2012.
Which stadium in the Scottish Championship has the smallest capacity?
United.
Who's the captain of Motherwell?
Peter Hartley.
Who did Rangers face in a friendly at Ibrox yesterday?
Helsinki.
What type of flower appears on Livingston's badge?
A rose.
What was the final score of Aberdeen Stenhouse Muir on Saturday?
1-8.
Where did John Daly finish his playing career?
Hearts.
Okie doke, let's bring Hugh Keevans back. Hugh, can you hear me?
I can.
You can, right. Same set of questions to you, shall we?
Okay.
In what year did Auchinleck last play Hearts in the Scottish Cup?
2011.
Which stadium in the Scottish Championship has the smallest capacity?
Pass.
Who's the captain of Motherwell?
McHugh.
Who did Rangers play in a friendly yesterday?
HIK Helsinki.
What type of flower appears on Livingston's badge?
Rose.
What was the final score of Aberdeen Stenhouse Muir on Saturday?
1-1.
Where did John Daly finish his playing career?
At Rangers.
Okay. You've heard the opposition, Ross. Does that fill you with confidence or dread?
I think I might. I just pipped them.
Oh, I see. It's always good when you get that feeling, Ross. Let's go through them, because the last few contestants we've had have went, oh, that's a lot harder when you're on the radio. So let's see. In what year did Auchinleck last play Hearts in the Scottish Cup? 2012. Ross got it right. He's off to a flyer. 1-0. Which stadium in the Scottish Championship has the smallest capacity?
Alloa.
It is Alloa, the Indodrill Stadium. So none of you got that right. It's still 1-0 to Ross. Was this you tapping into your local knowledge here, Ross? I know you're a Rangers fan. You're from Motherwell. The Motherwell captain is Peter Hartley. It used to be Carl McHugh. Now it's Peter Hartley. So 2-0 to Ross. Who did Rangers face yesterday? Helsinki. You both got that right. 3-1. What type of flower appears on Livingston's badge? You both went for a rose.
Daffodil.
No.
One day that's going to come up for me.
It's a thistle. So still 3-1 to Ross. The final score of Aberdeen's Stenhouse Muir was 1-1. You both got it. 4-2. And where did John Daly finish his playing career?
Falkirk.
Raith Rovers. Oh. You're kind of close, but not really. Anyway, Ross, you were right. You've done more than Pippin. 4 to you and only 2 to Hugh Keevans. The sign ball is on its way. Well done.
Well done, Ross.
Well done, Ross.
Thanks.
Do you think Cowden Beef will beat Rangers?
No, I agree with you on that one.
There we go. Ross wins the sign ball on the first Beat the Pundit of the new week. And you were well and truly dealt with Mr. Keevans, I'm afraid.
We have a word for it. Gubbed.
Absolutely. Your chance to play Beat the Pundit and get one over on these guys tomorrow night at the same time. Right, come on, let's get the calls in. 0141 951 1025. There is no shortage of talking points, because we can either look back on the cup games or we look forward to the return of the top flight. So get your calls in. 0141 951 1025. We'll just take a quick glance at the old Twitter feed, Hugh, at Clyde SSB, just to make sure I'm not missing anything. Oh, there we go. And you're a motivational tool. The real deal says at least the Cowden Beef manager doesn't have to do a team talk when they play Rangers. Just play tonight's Super Scoreboard.
As if anybody believes this. As if anybody truly believes that Cowden Beath have a chance. I mean, they're only...
You're being disrespectful again.
No, I'm not. The game, as Alec always tells me on the way home at night,
levels.
Is about levels.
Yes.
And Cowden Beath are way out of their comfort zone. And, you know, I do appreciate the value of a wind-up. I do live in Glasgow. But if you're trying to wind me up over Cowden Beef, that's all it is.
I do like the notion, though, that they're all sitting there getting the tape on last minute, Robin, whatever, and they've got Hugh Keevans blaring in the corner just to add that extra 10%.
If Gary Bolan walked in here now, I would say to Gary Bolan, you've got zero chance because that is the fact of the matter.
So disrespectful, honestly. We're trying, but he won't be told. 01419511025 is the number you need on the phones. I think we can take a call right now from James, who's a Celtic fan in East Kilbride. Just getting that one lined up. Yes, we can. James is on the line. Hi, James.
How are we doing, guys? You all right?
Yeah, good. Yeah. What's your point tonight?
It was actually just to follow up on a point that one of the callers made a few calls ago about potential referees going full-time and it being potentially maybe ex-players. Just a wee caveat, first of all, I think it would be a good idea them potentially being ex-players, but that's not the main point. It was actually just in regards to... It was a point that Alex made in response to one of the points the caller made about would these referees give up their day job to become a referee full time? And he quite rightly said no. You know, these police and lawyers, teachers, you know, professionals wouldn't give up their day jobs. Therefore, how committed and how serious are they to their role? You know, can we look at this and go, you know, are these guys just picking up an extra paycheck? You know, how much is their heart really in it? And it also brings my point about them being disciplined. You know, how much are these guys worried about losing their jobs? Because this is only a side gig for them. You know, they know ultimately they've got their full-time job to go back to. So how serious do they take it? And therefore, I think there's more pros than cons about our referees definitely becoming full-time.
See the 2 points, James, in terms of what you said, because I was talking to a friend about this the other day, and if we were kind of suggesting if they went full time, they're saying, well, why don't we start with the next generation, spend more time with them and get them in every day? But you don't know how well they're going to progress. You know, they might never make the level to actually get to the top flight. You know, they might just stay at the level they are. They might not progress in terms of their development. Going back to the point, I've actually been fortunate enough to know a couple of referees over the years in Scotland. They are extremely proud of what they do. They spend a lot of time. They have to do fitness tests. They have to hit certain levels. And what I do know is, see when guys are actually making these errors, they take it home with them. You know, they feel that, you know, because they're saying to themselves, they're like footballers in a lot of ways. But part of the problem is because of the structure that they find themselves in, they've been part-time, you know, throughout the whole duration, they have to go and get professions from leaving school. So we're in a system now where it doesn't really cater to full-time because, you know, there's no pathway for them to go other than go and get a job.
I'm not entirely certain that if you took the current crop and, for the sake of conversation, made them full-time next season, I'm not entirely certain it would lead to a vast improvement, because I've never been convinced by the fact that because they are full-time, their decision-making will suddenly become much better. I remain to be convinced. However, to go back to your point about former players, this is one that always tickles me. Former players. If a former Celtic or Rangers player became a referee in this country, he'd have no chance in this world, because these guys that we have working right now are not trusted, and they have not played for Celtic or Rangers. You couldn't have a Celtic or Rangers player as a referee in this country.
Yeah, I never mentioned that they had to be Celtic or Rangers. You know, I'm just talking about people who have played football at some level, you know, even if it is junior per se, you know, they still have experience of potentially playing at a professional level. And I think your point about you don't think it would make a difference if they were full-time as opposed to part-time, of course it would. You know, any profession where you are only part-time at your job, you're never potentially going to reach your full potential until you do that job full-time. You have more training, there's more days where you can go to other training, you can go to more events. You know, of course, full time's the way forward. And I know we can look at England. I know they have a lot more money, but the rest are full time.
Are they better than ours, James? Full-time. Do you think they're better than ours?
I think they are better, yeah. You know, they're playing at a higher level. They obviously, you know, they get far more training. You know, I know obviously they have to be qualified at a certain level of referees.
You also question the commitment of today's referees. Now, I have said on the programme repeatedly, we are better at being bad than anybody else. The referees have not covered themselves in glory. However, you question their commitment. They'd have to be committed to put up with the abuse and the occasional death threat that comes their way. So you're wrong to question their commitment. Were I disagree with you in terms of full-time referees. I don't know what events you're talking about. They can go to events during the week, but whatever they do during the week, it still comes down to that split second judgment that they have to make.
You would acknowledge the sound logic that James is displaying, though. Just take a step back from football. Anyone who is a professional at something should be better at it than someone who's part time at it.
But I think there's a unique.
But is that not obvious to any profession in the world? Any job? Any?
No, I think there's a unique difference refereeing. It's that split second, the naked eye, and take into account perhaps tens of thousands of people watching the match at the same time. I'm not sure that training. I do understand that if you are a member of a profession teaching the law profession, whatever, I do understand that that could be of assistance to you. Of course it could. But this is still the split second football game that we're talking about.
But what if the training then allows you to practice on 500 split second decisions a week as opposed to 50?
Well, you see, you could never prove your argument, and I can never prove mine. You would have to have them full time and then see what happens.
Well, it's my opinion, I see when you're looking at some of the referees down south, and again, I mentioned Paul Mariner yesterday. His decision not to give a penalty was laughable, actually, how he never spotted that. And also,
that
was linesman,
an awful decision, wasn't it?
Really
from
poor.
A professional ref. So
yeah,
you...
but not just the referee, Gordon, because the linesman is actually on that side, just looking along the line, and he should have seen that. However, they will always make mistakes. But for me, because they are part full time down there, I feel as if they're at a better level. But get back to the point that he made.
Is that not a contradiction, though? He's just talking overall.
I genuinely believe that the refereeing standard down in England is actually higher than it is at Scotland.
Much higher, or is it marginal? Because that's the point, then you know why would we spend so much more money?
Well, when I actually see the referees down there, I feel as
because
if
you've just spoken about that. That's a howler, that Raheem Sterling one yesterday.
Yeah,
it's a stonewall
penalty.
Yeah,
but I've watched Paul Mariner over the years, and he does get the odd. But I think every referee will get one wrong, Gordon. I just think in general that the standard is that bit higher. Well, considerably higher down the road.
Final word to you, James.
No, I was quite glad to hear Alex, you know, commit to the fact that, you know, he believes as well that, you know, down south they are better, and, you know, kind of shows that it's worthwhile as, you know, even if it does take, you know, a few years for these guys to come through, I think, you know, in the long run, full-time refereeing in Scotland is a must.
All right, thanks to James and East Kilbride. 01419511025 to add your thoughts if you agree or disagree with what you've been hearing so far on tonight's show. You can also tweet, remember, at Clyde SSB. Right, let's get the thoughts of Gordon and Penny Lee. Hi, Gordon.
Hi.
What's your take on all this?
Yeah, it's a bit on this referee thing. I think there's got to be a different aspect to it, and look at more of the respect you should be given to referees. For instance, in Germany, where my brother lives, he's a qualified referee in Germany. And over there, different levels of clubs, lower levels especially, every club affiliated to the National League must supply coaches to become qualified referees, and from there they actually become active with other leagues that a club isn't involved in. So they actually get in the referee, and what this creates is a different respect for referees, because it means that every club has their own referee to hand for explaining things, be able to speak to the players, be able to speak to staff, and there's a completely different level. I'll give you an example. At the end of last year, he headed up a tournament over a weekend with 36 different referees involved in that, and he was in as a head referee. He wasn't supposed to take games unless it was absolutely necessary, and there became a, it was a final, it was actually a women's final in this tournament, which had the potential to become quite volatile, and some of the other referees didn't really want to take it, so he stepped up to the plate and said, okay, I'll take this one on, and because of the fact that the head referee of the tournament was taking over, the final went past without any actual incident of any note, and it was almost like, okay, look, the head guy's here, so that's it. And he says there is a different level. So you still get a lot of hassle as a referee, the same way referees do over here. They got a lot of stick. He says, but there's a completely different level of respect.
If I understand what you're saying, that players or people associated with a club are put forward to train as referees. Again, I bring that to our own country. if you have the St Mirren representative, the Motherwell representative, the Hibs or Hearts representative, whoever, by the time they're finished and they go in to referee a match in our Premier League, they will be simply regarded as men who are not to be trusted by the opposition because they are the product of another club.
Yeah, but there must be... Gordon makes a good point in the sense who VAR costs a lot of money.
£1.7 million, as I understand it, per season.
Making referees go full-time will cost a lot of money, and there are various other big obstacles. There must be some simpler steps that we can take, not to fix everything, not to get all the decisions right, because that's not going to happen, but to just improve the overall relationship, communication, respect levels. These seem like the easier things to fix rather than having to throw money that you don't have at it.
Well, again, we've had that meeting in Perth last Thursday, and Brendan Rodgers did it in a very cold, calculated, mannerly way. But after the game on Saturday, he said, how can that offside decision be given? I mean, these are the things you've got to get right. This is 2 days after the meeting in Perth. So football...
Yeah, but you're not going to stop pointing mistakes out. It's all about doing it in the right manner.
Well, you're not going to stop people mistrusting referees. You're not going to stop people abusing referees. You're not going to stop managers getting overexcited. You're not going to stop players getting overexcited. As I say, the word passion for me covers a multitude of sins in this country. But we're never going to create that utopia where referees will be respected and that their judgment will never be called into question.
Barry McNabb's on Twitter. He says full-time refs cannot happen. As an ex-referee, referees do train full-time already. When do they retire? He says, good question actually. Sean Davidson says, of course referees going full-time would better prepare them for games. They will be able to assign more of their time to professional development, and surely that can only be a good thing. We've still got the likes of Oran Kearney and Gary Caldwell to hear from, so come on, St Mirren, Partick Thistle fans, where are you? We'll get a good full-time teaser. An easy one, but still one that you're going to have to think about. It's coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. A team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Alex Ray and Hugh Keevans are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. On Twitter at Clyde SSB, Williams, on the subject of referees of course, Williams says, my 17-year-old son's a grade 5 ref. He's been doing it for over a year. He would love to do it full-time professional, in a professional capacity, but even at his level, the abuse he gets from parents is shocking, and he attends training one night a week alongside the grade 1 refs. Chris McEntee's on. He says, Scottish referees are used by UEFA in the Champions League and Europa League, so for part-time they're not doing too bad. 0141 951 1025. Right, let's get the teaser up and running. I think this is, I won't use the word easy, but it's very doable. Very, very doable.
Is it because us two are on tonight you're not used easy?
Yes. So much so that I'm not even going to tell you yes or no as we go along. I want to see if you can nail the nine answers first, okay? Martin has sent tonight's question in. If you've got a good question and you'd like to hear it getting used in the show, please do email us fulltime@clyde1.com. fulltime@clyde1.com. So, nine players,
yep,
capped by England whilst playing for Celtic or Rangers. So very simple question. Nine players capped by England whilst playing for Celtic or Rangers. You can play along, by the way, on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Let's hear from you.
Terry Butcher.
Okay, like I say, I'm not confirming, but you can. I need you to think out loud.
I think Butcher had actually finged me to you. He'd been capped before then. Woods, they'd all been capped, haven't they?
Yeah, not first cap though. Just capped whilst there.
Oh right, well they two are there. Woods, a stick on. Yeah, Woods,
Gary Stephen,
Trevor Stephen, Mark Walters. No,
no, I don't think Walters.
I'm interested to. This is why we're doing it this way, because you've obviously thrown some good names out there, but I'm going to be interested to see if you can nail the nine.
Yeah,
I think Alan Thompson get a cap.
Do you?
He did get one cap. Great shout, Hugh. Okay.
All right, we'll leave that bubbling away in the background.
We've got six already.
You think so?
Five.
We'll see about that. 01419511025. That's the number you need on the phones, as you probably know. But if you're just joining us, at Clyde SSB is where you can send your tweets. St Mirren fans, let's hear from you, because it's all been doom and gloom at many points this season. Same for you, Partick Thistle fans. All of a sudden, there's something to cheer. and you're nowhere to be seen. So come on, get on here and celebrate good results at the weekend. Oran Kearney says the comeback against Alloa epitomised the crazy nature of cup football. It was 2-0 to Alloa at one stage. St Mirren were down to 10 men for a long spell in the game, and they eventually won 3-2. The Buddies boss was also full of praise for Kyle McAllister, who scored the winning goal on his return to the club on loan.
Probably the first 20-25 minutes of the game, I think everything was going well. We're unlucky not to take the lead through Brad off the crossbar. They have a couple of half chances, but you know, you're quite happy with how it's going, and then all of a sudden then, just in the space of 15 minutes, it just becomes, you're thinking to yourself, where has this come out of in relation to a goal sending off and going on top of that. So crazy, but listen, that's cup football, and it happens in cup football. And as I said downstairs, credit to our guys for coming through it. Listen, that's why we got them back, and that was, I think we need two or three more like that, if you know what I mean. We've struggled for width, and we've struggled for probably pace in the wide areas throughout the season. It's something we're really looking for at this point in time, but in the same stretch, it's about getting the right ones in more than anything else. And we've another couple, hopefully, in the next week or so that will be coming this direction. But I'm just so against signing for the sake of signing, and I think it's so important that we wait and get the right ones and the ones that will make a difference. And Kyle's definitely one of those. And I think, you know, it's been great for him. It's been a tough couple of years for him since he's left St Mirren. I had a great chat with him this morning about the emotions and tribulations of being an injured player, which I've experienced myself. And it's been a real tough time for him, but there's character in the kid, and you can see that in abundance.
There's character in the manager as well, to be fair, because at half time on Saturday we were writing the Oran Kearney obituary. 2 goals down, 10 men versus 11.
You say we, that was probably just you. But
no,
that's
no,
the way you
see
these things.
Well, there must have been somebody else. Was it you, Alec, or was it?
Not at all. I actually felt as if he might have been a bit under a bit of pressure.
You make a good point though. I mean, it would have been huge.
That, you know, the day was about Auchinleck, obviously. It was also about the great comeback, which was Oran Kearney's against Alloa. And fair play in the passing to Jim Goodwin, the Alloa manager, who said after the game that he tried to get too clever. At half time he changed tactics. They were two up and he changed the system second half, and he himself used that expression, "I tried to be too clever." So he owned up. But for Oran Kearney, it was a terrific result, and he's got a good draw home against Dundee United. That's another intriguing tie.
Kyle McAllister, yes. You're always looking for new signings to make an impact. He was there as a kid, obviously, went down to Derby.
Yep.
Try to think of the time frame. Would that have been one when
2 years ago? I gave him his debut, his full debut at Ibrox, scored when he was 17. I thought he was a terrific talent, all left foot. And he went down to Derby, you know, good opportunity, and he struggled with injuries whilst down there. But I said in the show at the weekend, I said I'm really looking forward to seeing how he does, because he has clearly got ability and he comes on and scores a winner. So Oran Kearney's just, he's writing what he says there. He needs players, and a few more players like that who can open up games, match winners, and Kyle will do that.
One of those great footballing cliches, Hugh, when you get to cup weekend, you're looking to see if that can be a turning point, a kick start, because teams like St Mirren and Partick Thistle, they need one.
Oh.
And sometimes it's not always as easy as saying you can take that form back into the league, but you know, it can happen. Sometimes you just need something to go for you.
Yeah. Now, is it good news for Oran Kearney that his next game is Celtic at Celtic Park, or is it bad news? Only St Mirren can tell. And they've already had a draw this season with Celtic. So the good thing for him is that he can at least go there still in the cup. They're still second bottom of the table, but he's still in the cup, and he avoids going to Celtic Park with the misery of elimination.
His next three games are really tough. You know, you have to go to Parkhead, and then you have Hibs at home, and then over to Ibrox after that. So if they take anything from the three games, then it's a bonus for me. It's the games after that that will be paramount.
Again, the impact is reduced when you get the result you want. But I wonder how Oran Kearney felt about that sending off. It was early doors for the debutant. The second one was for diving. We've seen it back.
Wow.
It doesn't look great, does it?
Not for me.
In terms of from it being the correct decision, doesn't look like it was.
I was really looking forward to seeing it. There was guys at the game. There was people on social media saying it was never a second yellow. Having seen it myself, I thought it was a really poor decision by Don Robertson. For the life of me, even if he doesn't think it's a foul, how he thinks that boy's dived is beyond me, because there's a coming together with the players. So I think it was a really harsh decision. And you know, I wouldn't be surprised. Can you appeal? You can't appeal to yellows, can you?
You can if one's for simulation, actually.
Right, okay, I think there'll be appeal going in there.
0141 951 1025. The floor is yours. James is a Rangers fan in Kilmarnock. Hi, James.
How you doing, guys?
Not bad, James. What's your take on the tonight's discussion?
Well, basically, it's just about, I mean, I listen to the show as much as I can, almost every night on the way home from work. And the night I had to pull over, I phoned up on Friday, obviously I couldn't get on, but I was absolutely fuming the night just listening to the way the situation about referees. I think it's just terrible. And I don't know if it's because it's a social media age. I think that we've always been had dodgy decisions. Now, I'll tell you the problem is, I phoned up about VAR on Friday, and I think that would ruin the Scottish game. It would ruin any game. In fact, I think it's probably started to already ruin the English game, because the English game, for me, the English league is the worst league in the world, right? Well, not the worst league in the world, too much. But it's boring now. Do you know what I mean? It's just a boring league now to watch. But my point with referees is, right, is that see players on the pitch. I'm happy for players, right, to be like enthusiastic, you know, and like they love the game, you know. But and I'm happy for them to have it out with referees, maybe to a point. But see, when managers come off after the game, including Rangers and Celtic managers, right, when they come off and then they criticise the referee in depth, fans don't even click on these things until they hear these interviews. And then they're like, oh, actually, and they're leaders to like Brendan Rodgers is a leader to a lot of the Celtic fans, the same way Steven Gerrard is to us. So when they go in depth, these guys are doing a job. We need them as much as we need footballers. We need them as much as we need managers. We need them as much as we need supporters. If we don't have them in the game, we don't have a game.
James, see, listen, you make a good point in terms of we need referees. See, when most nights on this show, if someone has a howler, a defender or a keeper, we are the first to go, oh, he's had an absolute nightmare. So it has to be that level of consistency, and we don't actually want to go over the top. I think we've been quite level tonight. I says Don Robertson got one wrong for a simulation. It may well, if it was me and Simon, I'm appealing that decision. We're mentioning referees in English Premiership who got a bad decision, Paul Mariner yesterday. And so we're really just highlighting it, and it's a case of trying to get that balance, like Brendan Rodgers did at the weekend when he says Sinclair should have had his hat-trick because of that. I think if it's that, I think one of the key things as well is the added pressure that the five clubs have actually put out statements. For me, that's a bridge too far, because there is a process that the clubs have to follow, and by doing that, they will probably get the answer rather James, than fire it out.
James is trying his level best. James is trying to be magnanimous, and I, you know, obviously we all agree with his point that no referee, no game. However, again, Scotland is unique, I believe, because Rangers write a letter in which they say that a referee, Willie Colum, has underlying issues with the club. Celtic, in the wake of the Alfredo Morelos business, they put out a statement asking for the referee to explain himself. So,
can I just say this, right? On your point about trust, what you said about trust, right?
There is none.
What you said was bang on, right? But I think that what you're saying is it's not as big a deal, because even last season, right, when we were getting doons, and I mean doons after Celtic, never at any point did I turn around and go, ah, the referee's a shocker. You know, that is the point. I don't think, this season, when they say, oh, the Old Firm on the New Year, and the boys say to me, oh, John Beaton's got that one, that's us beating. I'm like, I don't understand that. I don't get it.
I do take your point about the social media phenomenon that has created a lot of trouble. However, there is a general mistrust of referees, and referees have not covered themselves in glory because there's far too many poor decisions taken. But that none of this will ever change.
I think James is elaborating much better than I did on the question I was trying to ask you earlier about who, you know, VAR, that's a big thing. It's a big expensive tool. Full-time referees, that's going to be a huge commitment. Various roadblocks there. Is a first step, an easy first step, just for clubs to stop issuing statements when referees, mm-hmm.
Well, the meeting,
you know,
at,
and managers to handle themselves in a certain way.
The meeting at
not
Perth,
to ignore it, but
see, I think clubs, and let's not, Rangers and Celtic issue statements to appease their fans.
Well, listen, but they're not the only ones this season. I think Aberdeen have done it, Hearts have done it, Kilmarnock.
But Stevie Clark came out and he was more damning than anybody. He suggested there was allegedly corruption going on. So we are unique in that regard, and it will never change. But the referees themselves, we could be doing with more decisions being correct than incorrect. But it's all very well,
no, more, James. But that's the thing though, that is the thing. And what he's right about the scrutiny, more decisions are correct than are incorrect.
Well,
but we remember the incorrect ones.
Yeah, but the big decisions, the big calls. That's the point that Brendan Rodgers is making at the weekend. You've got to get the big calls right, otherwise there's mayhem.
Come back to James's point about VAR. I am very much one who wants it introduced, and it's interesting because you look at all the managers, or the majority, because I know there was only a couple didn't turn up for last week's meeting. But for me, I think it's most certainly the way forward, because it clarifies a lot of these key issues that Hugh's talking about.
Yeah, maybe not them all, but no, more than we have at the moment.
Absolutely, Gordon. And that's the idea, because if it's an entertainment game, that decision at the weekend, as you're saying, with Brendan Rodgers, it's a goal.
James made a point about VAR that, you know, in England it's taking so long to make decisions based on VAR. Well, you know what? You look at NFL, for example, and the crowd are quite... I know the game lasts 3 and 4 hours there, but the crowd are quite prepared to wait and see what the verdict is.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Should we be comparing it to that? Because yeah,
well, can we not stand still for a minute while somebody gets you the right decision? Can you not stop jumping up and down for a minute until the man gives you the correct call?
Or almost the correct call, but
or sometimes the correct call.
There was one that took a couple of minutes last week, but you have to remember as well that England are only doing it in the cup games at the moment, so it will take times to kind of refine it, Hugh, so that you actually get it quicker. The punters are no waiting that bit longer, and you get the right decision.
And even with the benefit of all that stuff, I don't know if you keep on top of these things, there was an absolute howler in the NFL last night that robbed the team of getting to the Super Bowl. So you talk about...
Wow.
You know, you talk about big calls, still happens. Anyway, thanks to James and Kilmarnock. We were just discussing
good burgers though.
We were just discussing St Mirren's game at the weekend. Stephen's a St Mirren fan from Milton the Campsie. Hi, Stephen.
Hi guys, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
A couple of quick points. I just heard the conversation there about the VAR. I don't think we needed VAR on Saturday to say that second yellow card was a terrible decision, and that's not... Oren Kearney doesn't really need that. Anyway, my main point, Oren Kearney was on just 10 minutes ago there talking about Kyle McAllister. He's a fantastic player, and they want to get players in, but you only want to get players in if they're good players and up to a certain standard. Now, what happened on Saturday? St Mirren only had 3 substitutes on the bench. So I don't think we've got that many players that we can be as particular as Owen Kearney thinks. I'd like your opinion on that, please.
Yeah, well, Hugh Keevans, it's that balance, because you could argue...
Stephen, I thought it was 5 subs.
No, it's 3. I watched the thing after his little interview after it, and with 3 substitutes, 1 midfielder, 1 defender, and 1 attacker.
Does he maybe mean of a certain age? Because when you look at the official team lines, it was Holmes, McAllister, Cook, McPherson, and Ferdinand. So there's certainly, there were 5.
Well, he's the one that said 3. Yeah. So maybe he's not rating the other 2, but I mean, that what I'm saying is, we don't have a big squad. We're only going to get people in if we really need them. We need some backup. What if we've got a couple of injuries? We'd be really struggling.
Yeah, listen, it's a very fair question, Stephen, but I wonder if you look at some of the recruitment recently, you could accuse the club of stockpiling players that haven't been good enough.
But that wasn't Owen Kearney.
Stephen, see just prior to the window opening, was it, I'm not sure if it was Gus McPherson or Tony Fitz, was actually saying that you had so many players that you were looking to try and get a few out the door.
Well, Oren Kearney talked about 2 groups at training, didn't he?
12 have left so far.
Is that right? Oh, what a turnaround. So
Cole Kopekawa was the latest one today. I'm sure I read somewhere on Twitter, I can't even remember where it was, that's now only 1 of Alan Stubbs' permanent signings remaining. So that shows you the overhaul, Stephen, doesn't it?
Yeah, fair enough, as I say. You know, you're not wanting to bring in people who aren't up to a certain standard, but you need to have some backup, because all it would take would be a couple of injuries, and then we've got a smaller squad now. He's got to get some sort of backup, and that's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Just before we move on, Stephen, are you hoping, I'm assuming you're hoping that can be a bit of a kickstart for you at the weekend?
Yeah, I thought the second half were absolutely tremendous, and I was shouting for Kyle McAllister to come on from the start, because that boy's a superstar.
How did he actually, Stephen, how did he look? Because I know he's not played a lot of football of late.
He was the fastest player and the fittest looking player and the most eager looking player on the pitch. He had a tremendous 35 minutes when he came on. Not only did he score the goal, he was chasing everything, chasing everybody down. His distribution was great. He did everything perfectly well for 35 minutes.
Do you think he'll start on Wednesday night?
If he doesn't start on Wednesday night, I'm going to go and start watching Rangers.
There we go. I don't know if that's a threat or whatever. Stephen in Milton the Campsie, 01419511025. Jerry makes a good point. You keep calling Andre Mariner Paul Mariner. I don't know
Andre.
Why you're Paul in the
Paul,
brain tonight.
Do you know what it is? Because I was a big Ipswich fan as a boy. Paul Mariner, you remember the big centre forward? Yeah.
We'll let you off with
your
it
time.
Right.
Yeah, Andre.
Thinking out loud, I'm not confirming anything, but tonight's teaser: 9 players capped by England whilst at Celtic or Rangers. What do you think you've got?
Right, we're giving you Butcher, Woods,
yes,
Gary Stephen,
yes,
Trevor Stephen. I think Alan Thompson at Celtic got one cap. I think Fraser Forster,
right?
Great shout, you
might have got one.
Whilst at Celtic,
yes.
Okay. And with Paul Gascoigne be in there.
He's just done me and I walked over to show them gas.
But I'm taking a hit for you.
Alright, well, we'll get the answers
well,
next.
I've got another one. Hatley.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Get the result you deserve. Talk to Thompson's.com.
I fancy. Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. The guys are going through the full-time teaser. We always give them about the last 30 minutes of the show to come up with the answers to the question that you sent in. So if you fancy that, if you want to get involved, send it into fulltime@clyde1.com. I can see Robert Middlemiss has taken part online. There's a few good suggestions coming in, I must
say. Can you
give
us a couple of wrong ones just so I can eliminate some of mine?
No, you cannot. Who else have we got? Paul Mack has got a you in there as well. Yeah, Brian Elder. All good guesses coming in. As I told you, I want you to come up with a definitive nine at the end. I'm not telling you as we go along. We're looking for 9 players who've been capped by England whilst at Celtic or Rangers. So what are you thinking so far?
Butcher, Woods, Stephen, Gary Stephen, Alan Thompson, Fraser Forster, Paul Gascoigne. Are we going for Mark Hatley?
Yes, we'll throw Mark in. I think he might have got a late cap.
So you're certain you've got 8?
Yes.
Okay.
And we'll throw in Nigel Spackman. Just
right, okay. Well, you've got 6 or so minutes to get your final list together. Still time for you to get involved in the phones or on Twitter.
I think you could now give us a clue how many we've got wrong.
Nah, no chance.
It's close.
Joe's a Celtic fan in Blarnock. Hi, Joe.
Hello there, Gordon and Alec. It's you, a long time. Well, I on the show, you know,
you've been waiting. My apologies, you've been waiting tonight as well.
I way back before you came, Gordon, you know. I wish all the boys are good to you, you know, that Christmas.
You,
okay,
you,
but the point is, I'm a Celtic supporter, and I've been following Celtic for 65, 70 years. Every day, I pick a paper up, it's a loan signing. I think Celtic are getting too many loan players signing. Celtic supporters, I know, I've been going to the old school same. We want to sign players. Give them, you know, 2 or 4 years contracts. Give them employment as well. This loan signing to me is this a package. Plus, we've got a few quid, and we're not really doing that, that's what I'm saying. And I've got another point for these lads.
Let's do that one first, Joe, shall we? Do that first, Hugh. This is an age-old football debate, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're obviously there for a reason, loan signings, but what do you think of Joe's point?
I partly agree with Joe that, you know, if Celtic have aspirations, I mean, they're still in Europe, the only Scottish club still in Europe. They have Valencia to play. You know, long-term, if you have ambitions to win 10 in a row, if you have ambitions to go Champions League again, it shouldn't just be about loan players. I know that they lend excitement. Timothy Weir's got Celtic Park on its ear. He's only played for 20 minutes. And I do know that loans are a global phenomenon. I mean, Chelsea are bringing in Higuain, and they're Chelsea, you know, and they're taking players on loan, and they've got the English money, which is astronomical. But I do agree with Joe in the sense that if Celtic want to prosper and grow as a club, it shouldn't just be about loan signing.
Yeah, I mean, this is not to say Joe's wrong. I'm just talking generally, Alex. We can't fall into the trap of thinking, you know, loans are bad, permanent signings are good. I mean, they're there for a reason. Celtic have got Burke on a loan because they could not afford to buy Oliver Burke, probably.
Yeah.
Same with Timothy Weir.
Gordon, I was just looking at the team from the weekend, and you're right what you say, because Benkovic and Burke, with the fees that would cost them, would be over £20 million, you know. So that doesn't stack up. It's just the way that football is at the moment, Gordon. And Celtic are lucky enough that they can attract guys of £10, £15 million quality. So that benefits their model. And as long as they don't have too many, Gordon, because when you look at the rest of the squad that they have, and then the talent coming through from the youth setup, it's just a combination of them all, and Celtic do it relatively.
The other side of the coin, and you know, Joe is of a similar vintage to myself. Joe remembers when there were one club players, when Billy McNeil played his entire career for Celtic, and John Gregg played his entire career for Rangers. It was like that in that era. It's not like that any longer, Joe. Much as it might be difficult for you and me to cope with the volume of loan signings, but Celtic have a business model, and the business model is this: sign them for as little as you can and sell them for as much as you can.
What's your second point, Joe?
A right back and left back, and we can't even get them. You know, covers fucking the end. Well, it's like, so that's a wee bit annoying. That's a majority of Celtic supporters. That's what I'm phoning.
What was your other point, Joe?
I think he was saying they were looking for a left back and a right back, Gordon, wasn't it? So listen, I think we said earlier on the show, where would I think Tierney's almost 6 weeks out, Hugh, potentially another couple. So they'll be monitoring it and hopefully try to get him back in. But the dilemma they have, if it's a longer term issue, which potentially could happen, depending when he comes back, if he breaks down or not, then Celtic would be left vulnerable at the left back area. So it's a, you know, with the window shut in 10 days.
They're vulnerable at right back as well, because the fans have lost their faith in Mikael Lustig. Now, Anthony Ralston is back into the side. Is Brendan Rodgers prepared to go with him in the back half of the season? We will find out, starting with St Mirren on Wednesday. But there's vulnerability there. And if Celtic want eight in a row, the remaining days of this transfer window are interesting, because I don't think Kieran Tierney will be seen for weeks and weeks, and Griffiths I don't think will be seen this season, and Celtic have to be aware that there's a lot of work to be done yet if they want to win this title.
Final review of the cup games, we can't get through them all, but what else jumped out at you that we perhaps haven't covered? Aberdeen, that's a real disappointment, Hugh. The saving grace, obviously, is they're not out of the cup, so you know, you get away with one, but to be drawing at home, Stenhouse Muir, I think, are bottom of League One.
But mind you, they scored a wonderful goal, wonderful headed goal. It's an embarrassment for Derek McInnes. It's also a nuisance. He doesn't really need a midweek visit to Larbert when he's trying to maintain pressure in terms of the title. So he really didn't need that. But it's their own fault. They were at home, as you say, a team almost three divisions away from them, and they didn't do their work properly. So that's their fault.
In my part of the world, they're not taking it well. The Ross County result at Fir Park on Saturday. I know we talk about, you know, County are top of the Championship and Motherwell are ninth. Maybe there's not a great deal between them. True as that may be, I'm not sure it makes it any easier to take.
It doesn't, Gordon, it doesn't make it any easier at all. And I think partly the problem that Motherwell fans have is that we got to two cup finals last year, so they were trying to get a cup run, because as you said on Saturday, the actual season could actually peter out for Motherwell, you know, in their position. If they get one or two more wins, they're not going to go into top six, they're not going to get relegated. So overall, it's been a disappointing, you know, half of the season for Motherwell so far.
Partick Thistle, who I was going to play Gary Caldwell, we're running out of time. But again, that was one where you were looking at it, everyone was anticipating, could it be a shock? Gary Caldwell, you know, what pressure would it put on his shoulders? And in the end, again, a professional job dealt with.
Yeah, listen, don't make a drama out of a crisis. The crisis is being bottom of the Championship. The crisis is facing a second relegation in two seasons. Don't add to the drama of it all with going out the cup.
Nine players capped by England, whilst at Celtic or Rangers, give me them.
Butcher, Woods, two Stevens, a Thompson, a Forster, a Gascoigne, a Hatley, and a Spackman.
Spackman or Walters, that's kind of two.
How many?
Spackman's wrong.
Uh-huh. Right. But the rest are right.
Did you say Chris Woods?
Yes.
Yes.
The rest are right, so you're only one away.
Walters?
Yes. Oh. Mark Walters. You scooshed that tonight. Well done, Terry Butcher, Fraser
well done,
Foster,
Hugo.
Paul Gascoigne, Mark Hatley, Trevor Stephen, Gary Stevens, Alan Thompson, Mark Walters, Chris Woods. Thank you, Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray, for joining me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We really do appreciate, as always, the calls and tweets and you listening. It's great to have you. Hopefully we'll do it again tomorrow night at 6 o'clock in the company of Roger Hanna and Gordon DL. In the meantime, stay where you are. Callum Gallagher's up next, and he's going to be talking to Dermot O'Leary on the show, Hugh Keevans.
I like old Dermot.
There we go. Well, you can tune in the car on the way home.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompson's.com.